Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Tuesday morning, Tuesday, November the 28th, 2023, 19 minutes past the hour, 20 degrees and mostly cloudy skies in the Marion area. Now, we're going to do something this hour that we have done every fourth Tuesday at this time for quite some time now, many years. It's always enjoyable to get caught up on what's going on in the city of Marion, and particularly this morning, because since the last time we have talked to our guest, an election happened, a big election here in the city and state for that matter. So getting his thoughts on what happened on election night, and with less than 2 months left to go in his term, what a pleasure it is to welcome to these microphones Mayor Scott Schertzer. Mayor Schertzer, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. Good to be with everybody this morning.
You know, Mayor, I was thinking about this when you called in. After today, one more of these interviews left. You're down to about, just a little over 30 days in office. Any melancholiness setting in at this point?
Yeah, but who's really counting days, right? I mean, you know, there's a lot of retrospective that takes place at the end of your tenure as mayor. In my situation, you kind of look back on things and look at some of the challenges that we faced together in my administration, some of the successes that we had. I don't regret anything. I obviously have no regrets about running for mayor in 2007. I'm grateful for the opportunity to serve my community that I grew up in. It's one of the best jobs I've ever had. But like any job, there are monumental challenges. And there are, I think, even more challenges in the public sector today than there were when I first became engaged in politics and public policy. The face of the elected officials has changed. The face of the candidates have changed, and there are so many things that are different, and we don't tend to do what has worked in the past, but everybody thinks that we need to shuffle the deck and mix things up and hope we get something better the next election, and that's not always the case. I don't see a lot of people running for office, or some people, not all, some people in office that just don't have the principles of good government in mind when they raise their right hand and take that oath of office.
Want to get to election night here, which maybe speaks more to that than anything else in just a moment. But with a little over a month left, is there something that you want to get done? Is there still something that is on the table, on the desk, that you want to see done before you leave?
Well, look, there is. I don't know that I have the power to do it, but I would really, really like to see the auditor's office get back into shape like it was 4 years ago. It is so disorganized, so chaotic. We're racking up fines and penalties with the IRS at an alarming rate, and most of the voting public and the tax-paying public, they're not even aware of how out of kilter the auditor's office is. I know that a couple of city councilmen are doing public information requests of their own auditor because the auditor doesn't share information, doesn't inform council or the administration of what's going on. So we've all had to resort to different means and methods of finding out what's going on. But nobody likes a surprise when we find out that in 2020, we didn't file some paperwork with the IRS, and now they want nearly $200,000 in penalties and fines. So the next question we ask is, well, did this paperwork get filed in 21, 22, and 23? Can we anticipate more penalties and fines? And when the auditor says, no, we don't anticipate any more, and I think she alluded to that maybe on this show, lo and behold, we find out there's documentation from the IRS for 2021. So we're not getting a straight answer. She's lost total confidence, or counsel's lost total confidence in her. It was a very interesting meeting last night. So, yeah, that's something I'd like to help clean up, but I don't know how to clean it up when I don't know what's going on because the auditor doesn't share information. It's very disheartening. So I hope that the next administration, Mayor-elect Collins, will be able to assist in a manner that my administration was not able to. And keep in mind, I've had the former deputy city auditor working in my administration for the past 4 years. And we have said, we're here to help. We're not here to do your job, but we're here to help. And it just falls on deaf ears, and I don't understand it. There are no principles of good government left in that office by the elected city auditor.
Very interesting meeting last night. What happened?
So there were a lot of questions asked of the city auditor by city council. And I'd say 90% of the time, she either couldn't or wouldn't answer the questions. There were a few questions asked of her where she had no audible response. No response at all. And I don't understand that. I don't understand how the auditor could not know these basic questions. And there's going to be more questions until the end of the year. You know, it's budget time. A lot of folks, a lot of your listeners may not understand how a municipal budget is put together in Marion, Ohio. But it's a train wreck. And to sit there and to watch this train speeding down the rails with no engineer, wobbling on the track, heading for a derailment is very hard after 16 years to watch.
You know, hindsight's 20/20. How did we get there, where we're going down the track and the train's wobbling?
Well, and you and I have talked about this before. We have gotten there because, and what I'm about to say, I don't want your listeners to think that I think this about every candidate and every elected official in Marion Municipal Government. There are good people that work in your Marion Municipal Government. Department heads, employees, police officers, firefighters, park employees. Kenny Ballinger in the Parks Department is a top-notch, stand-up, amazing park director. He took over for another amazing park director, Mike Chaney. And Kenny has done a great job of taking care of that department. So it's not about the employees. It's focused more on some elected officials. When we as voters and we as taxpayers, we need to be more mindful of who we're electing. It used to be at the local level that if you had a D or an R behind your name, it didn't matter. People voted for the person. And I don't see that as much anymore. And we've also discussed the fact that my party, the Democratic Party, locally completely failed to even recruit candidates for Marion government on a number of different levels. The Democrats had no at-large candidates. They had no auditor. How do you not have a candidate to run for city auditor when that office is a train wreck? There are so many issues that a good candidate could have used to put up a good campaign in that particular race. We had no first ward candidate. For the first time in my 25 years, for the first time that I've lived in Marion, Ohio, no Democratic candidate in the first ward? You've got to be kidding me. And then we had no candidate for council president either. Yes, I know an independent did run, but the Democratic Party put up no candidate. And the mayor, well, we can talk all day long and waste a whole show time talking about the mayor. I met with him numerous times. He never asked me for a thing. I made myself available to every candidate that was on the office on my side of the political aisle, and none of them asked for a thing. How do you not use the most valuable resource in a campaign election season with a 16-year veteran mayor and 9 years on city council? How do you not use that resource? The party chair has completely let the local party down. I don't know.
No, it's a big question, and I just want to turn to the Democrats here because you have to. For this reason, after the last election, as you just said, there is now one Democrat left on city council, Ayers Ratliff in the second ward. There will be a Republican mayor come January the 1st, a Republican auditor, a Republican treasurer. And we had Mayor Jack Kellogg on last year. This idea that Marion has always been very Republican, he said in the 30 years that he was on city council and mayor, his tenure in city government, there were only 2 years of that where his party was in the majority. 2 years of that. And now one Democrat left. How does that happen in 16 years?
Well, I think it's a complete failure of my party to put together a ticket that is helpful to the mayoral candidate. Look, the Democrats had one candidate running citywide. One, okay? You should have had, Mark Russell was unopposed, so I'll say two. You had the law director, the auditor, the mayor, the council president, and you had three at-large candidates. When you don't fill those positions, those are all city-wide positions, when you don't fill all of them, you're not going to drive out your voting base in the Democratic Party. Independents have no choice but to vote for the only candidate on the ballot. So you haven't given independent candidates a choice either. This is a failure of the local Democratic Party.
What's your feeling on the local Democratic Party at this time?
Well, it's nothing like I had ever seen it before, except for when I first moved back home from Columbus in the early 90s. There was a Democratic Party, but, you know, we recruited candidates. We put a committee together, and that committee was made up of people from labor. It was made up of people from small businesses. It was made up of people from different walks of life, and we coordinated with one another to recruit city council candidates. And ultimately, when I ran for mayor, that was part of the process to have a mayoral candidate when Jack Kellogg decided not to run. It was just perfect timing. But you have to do the legwork to prepare such things. You can't just sit back and think, well, I'm going to let this organically happen. You have to go out and recruit folks. You have to have an active club organization. You have to engage your central committee and make sure that they're doing their parts in their precincts to help the candidates that are running for public office in Marion Municipal Government. And the party chair simply did not do that and has not done that.
The one Democrat left on city council come January the 1st, Ayers Ratliff, said on this program the day after the election that his biggest fear right now is that with all the new people coming in who have never been on city council before, which will be five people, and I want to talk about that in just a second, but that his biggest fear is that they're going to come in and they're going to fire the clerk like they did last time, and I believe Ayers said even though she leans Republican, that's his words, not mine, Is this a fear with five new people coming in, a new mayor coming in who's never been in the legislative branch of government, the auditor's office in the condition you said it's in, and possibly, I assume Ayers has basis in his fear that the clerk might be let go. Do you see any of this?
Well, look, the whole process that you just explained is a transitional process that could happen and is happening and will happen. Look, I really don't know all the new candidates that are coming in. I've met them. I know some of them. I hope that they have a good government in their hearts and in their souls. I hope that they make the right decisions for the taxpayers and voters of the city of Marion. But that all remains to be seen. The clerk's position has become very contentious in the past 4 years. When the balance of power has shifted from Democrat to Republican, traditionally what happens is the party in power takes out the clerk because it's a majority vote by city council. As mayor, I have not become engaged in the process of the clerk. I think we've had some fine clerks in my 10-year in Marion Municipal Government. Some of them have served 10 years and 8 years, and I think Trina's on 4 or 5 years now, I forget, but there is some contention that could take place if the majority of council wants to transition the clerk from one person to another. I think their best bet right now is to keep the clerk because of the institutional knowledge. You're not going to have a city council with a lot of institutional knowledge. Even the incumbent Republican councilmen have not been on council for more than 4 years other than Jason Schaubert and Ayers Ratliff. Those are your two most senior people. And the other council members should rely on their, institutional knowledge. I've talked about institutional knowledge a lot this year. On your show, we've talked about it. And that is so important. And so we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Well, and I think that becomes the big question here, because when we look at city council now, we have five returning members and five new members who have never been on council before, one of which will be the city council president. And again, nothing against the new mayor coming up January 1st, but he has not worked in the legislative branch of government yet. Without this institutional knowledge, do you see trouble on the horizon? We all want to think that things are going to turn out well, but could there be some trouble here?
No, look, I wouldn't call it trouble. I think the incoming mayor, the mayor-elect Collins, will be okay. There's always a learning curve. Some people's learning curves are a little bit steeper because of their backgrounds. My learning curve was not as steep because I had 9 years on city council, because I understood how the three branches worked, checks and balances, parliamentary procedures. Those are things that, I'm not suggesting that Mayor-elect Collins doesn't know, but those are things that he's going to have to become intimately familiar with in order to be successful. I know Bill Collins. He wants to hit the ground running. I hope he does. I hope he can. I hope that he can work with the auditor, because it appears in the last 4 years, we haven't had an auditor that's wanted to work with anybody, or at least had the ground level knowledge on how to run that office.
On election night, it's kind of interesting that you bring that up. We spoke with Bill Collins after he was elected mayor on election night, as I said, and I asked him about the auditor, if he was ready to have her resign, and he said no. He would like to have, and I believe this is what he said, a CPA or somebody with some knowledge help her in that office. Is that a good move at this point? Is that something that could have been done? I do know he said he wasn't ready for her to go.
Well, it's very similar to what I requested at the beginning of 2020 after the 2019 election. I suggested that the administration needed a person that I called the Office of Management and Budget. It's not an unusual position. State governments have it. Many county governments have it. The federal government has it. And it really works under the executive branch of government. In this case, for the mayor, usually for the governor or the president. So I think he's moving in that direction. But isn't it a shame that we have to use taxpayer dollars to hire an additional person to double check what the elected auditor is supposed to know how to do? That's why we elected that person, or that's why the majority of voters cast their vote for that person, because that person essentially says when they run for office, I know how to do this job better than my opponent, elect me. And then they get elected, and we find out that the last two auditors, including the one we have now, simply had no idea of municipal financing. None at all. So it's a challenge.
When we come into the new year with a new mayor, new city council, do you think, because we talked about the R and the D, and certainly on election night we saw that, and we have seen that in past years, that people are not necessarily voting for the people locally anymore. They are voting for the R and the D. That the new mayor will be an R, do you think he will have an easier time getting things done?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think we will all watch and see how that goes. I think some things yes, and I think some things no. Let's be honest. I didn't have great challenges when the Republicans controlled city council. And in my 16 years, I think 4 years the Republicans controlled council. It, especially coming out of this term that we're in right now, the Republicans have controlled it. We still got things done. The D and the R should not matter on how you put a budget together. It should not matter on paving streets, picking up trash, filling potholes. Those things are not Democrat and Republican. They're just good government, and those things will continue to get done regardless of which party's in power.
We had former Mayor Jack Kellogg on the program last Wednesday, November 22nd, and I asked him what he thought of Bill Collins being elected mayor. And we have a short clip here. I want to play this and get your thoughts on it, Mayor. So this is Jack Kellogg last Wednesday, November 22nd, on this program. Now, another thing going on coming up on January 1st, we will have a new mayor. Bill Collins was elected overwhelmingly on election night. I believe you supported Bill in his race.
Yes.
How do you think Bill will do as mayor?
Bill, you know, I worked with him as an officer, and Bill was always very sharp with me. I never had a bad word with him. He listened to you. He would tell you the facts, and I didn't get a chance to work with him as you know, chief of police, but he was always so good to me, and he always investigated everything he was doing. He knew he had the facts, and I think he'll be a great mayor. It, as long as he don't let his police force go too far into, but I don't think he will. I always got along with him, and he's a very sharp guy, and I think he will. And he can talk to people. He can talk to anybody at any time, because he's been through the officer, and you know, they talk to all kinds of people, and you know, everybody has got a good side to them, and you've got to work to pull that good side out of the person. And then, as you get that good side out, then you can negotiate. I learned how to be an insurance adjuster.
That's right. You know how to deal with people.
Right. I knew it. You got to know how to deal with people, because I'm always not right, never. And I asked my wife.
Mayor Jack Kellogg on this show last Wednesday. What do you make of that, Mayor Schertzer?
Yeah, I tend to agree with Mayor Kellogg. I mean, you know, I worked closely with Mayor-elect Collins when he was chief of police. And, you know, we worked well together. I could always rely on Chief Collins at the time. And so I don't disagree with anything that Mayor Kellogg said.
Want to talk a little bit about the mayoral race. We talked about the lack of candidates in that race on the Democratic side. When you have an incumbent mayor who's been there for 16 years, who is a Democrat, and we come to time to elect a new mayor. And as the candidate, the Democratic candidate for mayor, said many times, I just stepped into this spot because nobody else was going to, and it did look that way because there was no primary on the Democratic side. Do you think that affected the election, that maybe it could have gone a different way?
Oh, I definitely do. Yeah, you can't just be a placeholder on the ballot. You have to, what we used to refer to as fire in the belly. You really have to want this job and get out and campaign for it. It requires a lot of door knocking. Any time that there is a nice day, you should have been out knocking on doors. You can't just put up 50-yard signs. You have to put up 500-yard signs. You can't just leave a flyer in somebody's door. You have to put mailers out. So it's a culmination of doing many different things so the voters get to know you. And I don't think that was done in this year's mayoral race on my side of the political aisle. There weren't very many yard signs. That's just a small part of running for public office. It's not the whole piece. But I don't recall of ever getting a mailer from the Democratic candidate. I don't recall of him ever knocking on our door and asking, there's four voters in my household. I don't recall of that at all. And, you know, I just don't think that it was a... Look, I would have never have run that campaign. I run a campaign with a lot of door knocking, a lot of yard signs, a lot of mailers, at all the public events, and I didn't get the sense of that this year. If it was just running to give people a choice, which was what was originally told to me by the Democratic candidate, you know, I understand that. That's the choice that he made to get the petitions filed to give the voters a choice. But the voters need to know you before they can make that choice.
Hmm. Something coming up in City Council before you leave that's going to have a lot of attention on it is the December 11th vote on the mayoral pay raise. Also, a pay raise for auditor, and I believe law director will be on the agenda that night, to $110,000 for the mayor. Now, you felt that you didn't feel this was going to be a good thing. A lot of people felt that this had something to do with who would win the election. That's why I was told the vote was pushed out by Jason Schauber. What do you think is going to happen on December 11th?
That's a great question. You know, we had a citizen come before council last night, and we talked briefly at the top of the show about the questions that were asked of the auditor, and they're not just questions from council. Now members of the public are starting to come to council and ask the auditor very similar questions. And this citizen said that she just couldn't see how council could give the auditor a raise when it doesn't appear that they're even doing the job properly. So I don't know what's in the hearts and minds of nine voting members of City Council. I don't know how they're going to vote. I want to reserve judgment and see how the vote comes out. But I don't know how council can give such exorbitant raises when the financial accountability of the city's financial resources are in such disarray. The balance sheet between the auditor and the treasurer is out of balance $1.3 million. How do you give these kinds of pay raises when we're out of balance $1.3 million and they can't figure out where $1.3 million is?
You know, I asked Bill Collins about this, and he said he's not against the pay raise at this point. But interestingly enough, for everything you just said, if they do happen to vote yes on December 11th, you do still have the power of veto. And we did talk about this in the past, and you said you weren't ruling it out, that you would use it if they would vote it in. Knowing everything you know now, because since we had that conversation, there's been a call for the auditor to resign on your behalf. We know who the next mayor will be. We know how that all shook out. We've seen these fines start to accrue. if those nine members decide to vote these pay raises in, is this something you would use a veto on?
Well, look, the Ohio Revised Code and the state constitution has given certain powers and authorities to the executive branch of government, and if the chief executive is not aware of those powers and is not evaluating those, then maybe they shouldn't be in office. So we'll just have to wait and see how nine members vote. I understand by talking to a couple council members that they want to amend one of those ordinances and reinsert pay raises for city council. So here we're back doing exactly what we said they didn't want to do, giving pay raises to council and mayor elects after the election. That's why they introduced it before the election. But we're right back in the same boat that they tried to avoid. So I don't really know what's going to happen. We'll just have to wait and see together, and I'm sure it'll be a talking point the next time we get together at the end of December.
I would imagine so, because people seem to be very interested in the community in this particular issue, and I think it's because, from what I have heard, people see this as very political, talk about the R and the D, because of the timing of all this.
Well, yeah, and that could be. I don't know that to be the case. You know, I said what I had to say about the pay raises. I think all the positions deserve a pay raise. Many of them have not seen a pay increase in 8 years or more. But I think the exorbitancy of some of these pay raises, it's just out of control. That's just way too much when we don't have a firm handle on the city's finances right now.
Being the mayor for the past 16 years and knowing what's going on right now in city government, what is going to be the biggest challenge the next mayor is going to face when they take that office?
The auditor's office. Because if you don't know your finances, you don't know what projects you can do. You don't know what... for example, we just negotiated three contracts this year, actually four, the fire, the police blue and gold, and we just got the steelworkers approved last night. When you don't know what your finances are and you go into a negotiation, it's very challenging to negotiate the terms of a three-year contract when you cannot rely on and you do not know the city's finances. So it hinges upon everything the next administration will do. If you have a project in mind, you better know where that money's coming from, and you better know where that money is. And right now, apparently, we don't know where a lot of the city's money is.
You know, the mayor, this has become an interesting question because we all went through the Robert Landon situation together, and it seemed as if there always was a distant relationship there between yourself and city council and Robert Landon, and that was always talked about. But with this auditor, when she came in, being an independent, she says she's always been an independent, she's never been a Republican. You had said there were meetings with you when she came in. It seemed like there was a lot of hope there for her. And now, not. What has happened? What do you think happened?
Well, you know, Councilman Ratliff said it best last night in some of the questions that he was asking the auditor. I think the concerns in the auditor's office today is more bipartisan than it was in the short term that Robert Landon was in office. It was not bipartisan then. You had one Republican questioning, but the rest appeared to be Democrats. It is so much more bipartisan now. And the citizen that came to the mic last night questioned, there was a vote of no confidence taken on the auditor a few weeks ago. I mean, it may have been a month ago. And it came down to a 4-4 tie because there was a member of council that was absent, and the council president had to break the tie. So five members voted to have confidence in the auditor, and four voted not to have confidence. And so the citizen at the podium last night wanted to know, how would those council members vote today if that vote was taken again? And at least two of them were very candid and open in the fact that they would have voted no confidence in the auditor. So the concerns are more bipartisan today than they were. So, you know, when the current auditor came into office, Councilman Ratliff said, everybody, council and my administration, were on board, willing to help. And we did. But apparently the auditor did not do anything. And those things come back to haunt you. They're not an immediate response, or you don't see the results immediately. There's a lag in the response and the results in the auditor's office. So I wish I could tell you what happened, but council slowly, slowly, methodically started to lose confidence in the auditor's office. And today, I'm not sure that there's one elected council member that has confidence in the current city auditor. It took him a long time to get there. It took a couple of elections to get there. But they're there now, and they're going to have to deal with this auditor for the next 4 years.
Are you still having meetings with Miranda, the auditor?
Had one with her yesterday. Called her up, and we had a short meeting. Yep.
How would you say that meeting went with everything going on?
I think the auditor is very timid in all her responses, which shows a lack of confidence. I got the same sense in the meetings. And we did meet at the beginning of November as well, and I think it was the beginning of October. For whatever reason, we didn't meet. If you're not going to keep a meeting, you should at least have the professionalism to let the other person know that you're not going to meet. And that didn't always happen with Robert or Miranda. So, you know, you just keep moving forward. And I wish I had the answer for the taxpayers and voters of the city of Marion, but I don't. They voted who they voted for. We got what we got, and sometimes we get the government we deserve.
How much of the blame does go to the Democratic Party in Marion? Because in the case of the auditor at this point, as you said earlier, she had no opposition. The Marion citizens really had no choice in that particular matter.
Well, in that regard, there's a lot of blame not to have a candidate. If there was a challenged race with a good quality candidate on my side of the political aisle, the outcome may have been different. But again, I need to stress to you that when you don't have all your citywide candidates filled, there is a ripple effect. People don't typically come out to just to vote for the auditor or the city councilman. They come out to vote for the mayor. And so the mayor's race was the one that brought the candidates, voters out, and again, gave independents a choice on who to vote for. And then there, when you bring out more people, that might have swung the balance of the election, but that did not happen.
Before we run out of time here during this interview, the time always goes so fast, I did want to play one more clip of Jack Kellogg on the program last week, because I think at this time, there is a time for reflection when we look back at 16 years of your term, and of course, Mayor Kellogg being in for 16 years. I asked him during that interview last Wednesday, November 22nd, what he had thought of your term as mayor, and here's what Jack Kellogg said on this program.
Yeah. Now, the other, with Mayor Schertzer wrapping up 16 years here, January 1st, what have you made of his term?
Well, I already got along with him pretty well. I think he's been weak in some getting businesses here and keeping our business going. And
streets are horrible, a lot of areas. But still, the money's not there to get to Daytona. And that's a problem, you know. And the unemployment's been bad, you know, for America, for the whole world. And that has hurt us. And, like, people are not paying their taxes because they don't have money. Well, and that hurts him, too. So, you know, it's, overall, he's been here and he's worked. You know, he worked pretty hard, but it's just, I think, a time hurting him more than anything.
If we look back on his 16 years, if you had to give him a grade, where would you put him?
No, I would not make a comment on that.
I don't mind that. I don't mind that. You know, it's interesting, though. What does a mayor have to do with street repair? A lot of people don't understand. Former Mayor Jack Kellogg, what do you make of that, Mayor Schertzer?
Well, I would disagree with him a little bit on the unemployment rate has been historically low. So, you know,
the place for holidays
are actually clamoring for more of a workforce than they are a high unemployment rate. Look, you know, I had to deal with some things that Jack didn't have to deal with, and that's just a timing issue. I've often said we don't choose the time that we live, but we can choose to make the best of that time. I had to deal with the greatest recession since the Great Depression. I had to deal with an opioid crisis. I had to deal with a pandemic. None of those things were a result of what anybody did in Marion, Ohio. But we had to deal with them together, and we did, and we came through each one of those monumental challenges in my 16 years. And so we did it as a team. We worked together. We collaborated and cooperated with our other partners in local government at a higher level than I've ever seen it before. And I just hope that the next mayor can take it to the next level.
Mayor Schertzer, we've got about 2 minutes left here, and I wanted to make sure to get this in, because last time we spoke, you had said you still would like to stay in government, stay in politics. You've had many offers to run for different offices. Once you leave the mayoral position, you said you still priority would be the state treasurer's office. Has anything changed since we spoke last?
You know, I was asked recently to run for office next year. I did my due diligence. I evaluated it. I went out on the road and I spoke at some events that took place, and came to the conclusion that that particular office was not the right thing for me at this time. So right now, no, I still hope to have the opportunity to run for public office again. When you have done it before, it gets in your blood. It just becomes a part of who you are. I still believe in the principles of good government and want to make sure that as an elected official that we can still implement those practices. I still believe in the institutions that I've served in. And I think that many of the institutions that we all have come to rely upon in our lives are still good and valuable institutions. And we need to make sure that we have good people in those institutions serving the voters and the taxpayers of where we live or where we serve.
Final question before we part ways. Do you think you'll stay in Marion when you're no longer mayor?
Have no plans to leave at this point in time. Still have two daughters in college. Who knows where life might take us once they graduate from college and inevitably get married and start to have grandchildren. So, you know, we'll want to be close to the grandchildren. If and when that time comes, my wife and I will make that decision what's best for our family.
Mayor Schertzer, I appreciate the time as always, and we will do this again in late December. And I guess that will be close to the end of the run, but I certainly always appreciate the time.
Great. Thank you so much. I appreciate everybody, and I appreciate your listeners.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor Scott Schertzer, there you go. All right, for this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout. Hey, fun.
When we gathered with our friends around the Christmas tree, we would sing a lot of the Christmas songs. My favorite Christmas song was White Christmas. It was written by Irving Berlin. and sometimes Irving would join us at the piano and lead us in the singing. Can you imagine the Christmas choir consisting of Bob Hope, Irving Berlin, Jack Benny, Groucho Marx, their wives and their children at this most happy occasion?
Shots, knots, roasting, on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung.